The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. I was thinking the last few days, what does the Lord have for us tonight? Thought that before Sunday, and then the shuddering thought came into my mind, what a responsibility to speak for God, to speak the Word of God, to speak it in accordance with His will, to not use my opinions, to not take it aside for private interpretations, but to try and exposit it as it is in the Scriptures. And so pray for me, brethren, as we open in prayer before we read the text. Lord, we ask for Your blessings. We thank You for Your Word. I pray that You would reveal it to us. Father, I pray that You would give me utterance. You know my insufficiency. Father, I am not worthy to speak forth one word of it. Nonetheless, Father, You call fallible men to preach Your infallible word, fallen men, and yet saved from our sins. And so, Father, I ask You, Father, again, please, I pray Your Spirit would dwell in our midst. You would give me utterance, that You'd bless these precious souls gathered here today. And we want to give You all the glory and all the honor. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Solomon the preacher begins to close the book of Ecclesiastes, I think that's where we're at here. He now directs our hearts toward the last days of our earthly lives. And I think that's what he's coming to. Chapter 12 is really all about that. But he also directs us to the eternity that awaits every one of us. Everyone here, whether lost or saved, you will have an eternity. There's only two. One is everlasting life in the presence of Christ for all eternity. The other is the blackness of darkness, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It is a place of the damned. It is to be in the regions of the damned. It is to fall into hell. It is a place of eternal damnation. So there's two eternities that await every soul. Ecclesiastes 11:7, Solomon turns his mind to those that live in this life and rejoice in this life. And he makes it clear, and we'll look at this in a few places, we are to enjoy this life. Listen, we are not to be children of God and go through this life depressed because we live in a fallen and sinful world. Beloved, we're to go through this life and enjoy what God has given us. This life is a gift. And we're to be salt and light. We are to be rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So we are to live to the glory and honor of God in the midst of this fallen and sinful world. That's how God speaks to the lost, through you and through I, brethren. But then there are so many that live in this world and they are consumed and immersed with life in this world. This life is their all in all. Solomon says here, the preacher, he says, truly the light is sweet, and the pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. You know as well as I do, every day in which we awake to the warmth and beauty of the sun and of a new day, it is to be enjoyed as a gift from God. If you wake up tomorrow, beloved, God has gifted you. He's given you another day, another opportunity to learn a little bit more about Him and His eternal plan for you. Oh, to learn more of His providential dealings in your life, to learn more of His holiness, more of His majesty, more about His precious Son, Jesus Christ. Sadly, though, so many lost sinners, and we know many, to them life is not a gift from God. It's theirs. They own it. It is not lived to glorify and honor God. It is another opportunity to go a-whoring after the world, to seek after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Life to so many, really the majority of those in the world, life to them is not a gift. It's theirs. I own it. Beloved, that's not us. We are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. Listen, think about that. The pride of life. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. Think about the pride of life. What is that? What is the pride of life? It's a definition of honoring yourself, of promoting yourself, of exalting yourself, of considering yourself to be the God of your life. That's what I believe John communicates here. But listen, Christian, your life in this world is a gift from God. Again, that is how you should view every day that God gives you. And no matter what you are faced with in it, in this life that is under the sun, as Solomon uses that term many times, in this life under the sun, whatever you are faced with, beloved, never forget that God is the architect and designer of it. And it is for your good. God has designed your life, Christian, to bring honor and glory to Him. And some of that is going to bring affliction with the sunrise. So that day is a gift from God. The affliction doesn't mean that it's a curse from God. It's a blessing from God, and God's going to use that. Remember, He's the great architect, capital A, and designer, capital D, of everything that is happening in your life. But nonetheless, beloved, we are to enjoy life. Look at Ecclesiastes 3. We looked at this when we went through Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. I love this section of Ecclesiastes, shows the beauty of God's providence. It says in verse 11, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world, or He has set eternity in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is a gift from God. He's not telling you to be sinful and be full of the lusts of the flesh and the pleasures of this life, but we ought to enjoy our lives in moderation, lawfully, beloved. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it means nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. Chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. Just one other reference here. 5 and 18. Solomon says, Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely. Means befitting for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, and that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. It is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. God answereth him in the joy of his heart. So as children of God, beloved, we should enjoy every day that God gives us under this sun. But we are not to be so immersed in this life that we eclipse what is true life. The Bible says, in Christ is true life. And His gospel hath brought to light that eternal life which we now possess in Christ. And listen, though the world is fallen and full of sin and wickedness, and though there are present distresses and afflictions that every one of us are faced with, know this, child of God, if the sun has risen upon a new day for you, it is because God is actively working in your life. God is actively working in your life. Romans 8, verse 18. Look at Romans 8, 18. In regard to your suffering, consider this. And listen, as we get older, and this is where Solomon is driving us to here in Ecclesiastes 11:7. He's driving us to what he calls the evil days. The evil days mean the days, and he defines them, in which we shall say, I have no pleasure in them. And the pleasure meaning is that it's physically, beloved, these bodies begin to break down, and it becomes burdensome. Life becomes very difficult in the physical sense. And that's why, beloved, we need to be laying hold on eternal life. Look at what, and I think Paul talks about some of that here. Look at verse 18 of chapter 8. Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." See, you see two contrasts here. You see the contrast. You see this present time. You see the sufferings of this present time. But they are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Listen, he says, "For the earnest expectation," and this is where you need to live. Earnest expectation means your longing. The longing of the creature or of the creation or of you, Christian, waiteth or expects the manifestation of the sons of God. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." This is where we live. And not only so, not only they rather, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's you, Christian, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. This is the Christian experience in this world. We groan waiting for the adoption, to wit, or in other words, the redemption of the body, that which is dying. "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But we, if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." I love 26 and 27. It's so necessary to be here. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray or how we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." That is a precious promise, brethren. In those times when we don't quite know what to say, how to pray, the Spirit sends that prayer up in groanings unutterable. You don't know what to say. You may say nothing, but the Spirit intercedes for you. "And he that searcheth the hearts, who is God, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." We're being interceded for. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things?" Considering all of what Paul just said about the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared. The whole creation groaning and travailing. God is interceding for us. The sufferings that you are in are God's will for you, brethren. What shall we say to these things? Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 12, I'll read that to you. Go to Philippians 1. But Romans 12, "I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies every day with every sunrise a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And then Philippians 1 and verse 3. And I read all this, beloved, to encourage you that every one of our lives, as we head toward those evil days, there's going to be distresses. There's going to be difficulty. Life is going to simply get hard physically. The bodies begin to break down. Solomon talks about that in Ecclesiastes 12. But this is why it's so important for us to remember now our Creator in the days of our youth. To remember our Creator, to worship our God now, to be like the ant, to store up for the winter now. Don't come to the dark days without any food stored up. Don't come to the dark days without the gospel. Don't come to the dark days without taking hold of eternal life and knowing God. Philippians 1:3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now back to Ecclesiastes. Here's the problem with most fallen humans. They view sufferings as a curse from God and not a blessing from God. They view distresses. They view those things as a curse from God. And here's the problem with most fallen humans. They interpret the blessings of God to be the goodness of God when everything's smooth sailing, but they want all of those blessings which God bestows upon them. The blessings of God without God. They want the Christian life without Christ. They want to be blessed like you are. They want what you have. They don't want your Christ. They want to enjoy God's goodness while refusing to acknowledge God or give Him the glory that He deserves. See, the world immerses itself in God's rich blessings every day. They fare sumptuously in the warmth and sweetness, as Solomon writes, in the light of his son, and in the life which he has given them. But once again, they give him no honor, they give him no glory, and they do not thank him for each day that he gives them. Beloved, let that never be us. And in all of their godless enjoyment of this life that God has given them, yet they heed not his word, nor do they make any preparations for the evil days that approach, which Solomon's about to talk to us about. The evil days approach every one of us. The fact is, we're entering into them. Evil days, I mean the days of age, when age becomes cumbersome. The youth are not there. That's why Solomon says childhood and youth is vanity, and he tells us why. Verse 8, Ecclesiastes 11. Notice what Solomon says. Let's read verse 7 again. Truly the light is sweet, and the pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun, enjoyment of life. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, I think of 1 Corinthians 15:19 when I see that. Think about that. 1 Corinthians, think about, and I think we read it. Yes, we read it this past week. But think about it. If a man live many years and rejoice in them all of those years, he rejoices. And I think what Solomon's talking about is he just rejoices in this life. He's wrapped up in this life. What did Paul say? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And think about those that they have everything in this life. I realize Paul says in Christ, but he's talking about there being no resurrection. If this life is all you got, then you don't know it, but you're headed toward eternal misery. But he says there, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many, that they shall be many, and all is vanity. All that cometh is vanity. So listen, the most important words of verse 8, I think, are the words, remember the days of darkness, for they be many. What does Jesus say to Nicodemus in John 3? And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil They hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. They love the darkness. So Solomon wrote of the foolish and often wasted days of young people who live their lives thoughtlessly and carelessly without any concern for their latter days. And there are many middle-aged people doing the same thing and older people doing the same thing. They live without any concern for their latter days, if they make it that far. Or more importantly, they live with no concern for their eternity that awaits them. You know when people think about death who are not saved? You know the answer, don't you? At a funeral. That's when they think about it. Or when they see an accident or something comes on the news. But after that, they chase it out of their minds. And in every death, God is speaking and He's telling us the wages of sin is death. Every time you drive by a graveyard, you ought to consider that that's your long home. Look what he says. He goes on, chapter 12. Well, back verse 9, I'm sorry. Solomon says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." I don't think he's indicating that's a good path. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Why? Mostly, we know that Solomon says foolishness is bound in the hearts of the young, of a child. Foolishness is bound in their hearts. We know that young people, they don't think about the future. They think about having fun now, doing stuff now. They got their lives now. Verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Beloved, if you read the book of the Proverbs, you'll see that the whole, all 31 chapters, who is Solomon talking to? My son. My son. My son. My son. And so, beloved, I believe Solomon is rejoicing in this life, immersed in this life, and in their many years under the sun, who rarely or never consider from the time of their youth, what awaits them at the day of their reckoning in eternity or in the dark, evil days that precede them. I believe these days of darkness are very well the days of advanced age. But they could also mean the darkness of eternity. If God grants us many years in this life, we will no doubt come to the evil days of old age. Days in which we will confess, I have no pleasure in them. So as much as you enjoy life, beloved, we need to enjoy God. We need to love God, because you know what? You know how you come to those evil days? And you know how you can come and still have pleasure? When you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, that's our pleasure. As we wax older and older, as the light wanes, as we get more tired, as we break down, beloved, we have to find our love and our pleasure in Christ. So again, as much as you enjoy life, you must remember that this life is short. Yes, this life is to be rejoiced in, but this life will end. And for those that are lost, the darkness of the unseen world will be a ceaseless darkness. Look at Lamentations. Lamentations, and we're almost done. Lamentations chapter 3. The book of Lamentations. The Lamentations of Jeremiah. Chapter 3 and verse 24. I'd love to read more, but I'll just read these few. Verse 24. Jeremiah says, "The Lord is my portion." 3:24, "saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. I wanted to get to that. You know why? You know why it's good for a man or to a young lady to bear the yoke in their youth? Because it teaches them discipline. That's like saying train them up in the way they should go. Teach them. Discipline them. They need to learn responsibility. They need to learn what's going to happen. They need to learn the consequences of living a foolish life. They need to learn the consequences of throwing God out of their lives. They need to learn the consequences of not remembering their Creator in the days of their youth. Whether they believe it or not, beloved, you make them remember it. You talk to them about the truths of the things of God. They may let them slip. Don't you let them slip. So Solomon says, woe unto them that live many years while never considering the welfare of their souls. So many young people are doing that. Who rejoice in the light of this sun, who walk in the sight of their eyes while never walking in the light of the truth of the Son of God. They come to the dark days of their lives. They come to the days of affliction, weakness, sickness, days accompanied with sorrows and pain. Days that all of us should be preparing for as the years of our lives advance. Beloved, to come into the days of old age without Christ makes those days days of darkness. To the end of a life, to end a life rather, without Christ is to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with nothing but death and darkness before you. Jesus said this, and I'll be done. Woe unto you that are full. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Listen, when the sun is rising in the springtime of life, yes, enjoy your life under the sun. But remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth and in whatever stage of life you're in before the evil days come. Now look away from this life, beloved, under the sun to life everlasting in the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's where we need to be looking every single day. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Teach those beloved and blessed truths to your young people. Teach them to your family, to your friends, beloved. Listen, so many are walking through this life as a blind man groping in the darkness. They don't know what the next step's going to bring, and they don't know what's in the eternity that awaits them. So, amen. Brethren, I pray we would take heed, me as well. Let's dismiss. Father, thank you for this passage in the Word of God, sobering for me to consider. Oh God, I pray that we would all, oh God, be good stewards of our time, that we would redeem the time, for the days are evil. Father, help us to speak of these things when we sit in our house, when we walk by the way, when we lie down, when we rise up. Father, help us to teach the youth in our day, Father, to remember their Creator. Help us, Father, to be examples of those that do remember and honor and pray unto and glorify our Creator, that we might show them the way to eternal life. Help us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.